An open door here tonight for prayer. There's an anointing here tonight for prayer. If your prayers have been weak and ineffective, and you feel like something has walled you in, something has closed in your prayer, and you're not being effective in prayer, I want you to come down here. I want you to come, and I want you to let us lay our hands on you, because the church, the body, is moving in prayer tonight, and there's an anointing in prayer, and there's nothing that can stand against the anointed prayer of the people of God. If you're coming for prayer so that your prayer life will break forth, it ought to be a well of living water. It ought to be something springing up into everlasting. Just lift your hands. I want to be able to identify you. If you need somebody to pray for you that your prayer life break forth, all right, come and gather around these. Stephen, Jermaine, Brother Cliff, find these. Lay your hands on them. Reggie, find these that have their, come up here. Yeah, yeah. Come on, church, find these that have their hands lifted. Come on, lift them up high. We want to see you. Lift them up high. Find them. Lay your hands on them. Come on now. Don't just show up. Cry out. You've got to loose that God has placed within you. Hey, cry out. Loose that thing God has given you. Loose that gift God has placed within you. If you came down here for prayer, if you came to have someone pray for you, I want you to turn right now and I want you to lay hands on somebody else, because this thing works that way. It'll flow through you and out of you and onto that other vessel. No, I mean really pray for them. Let that Holy Ghost pray. Let that anointing flow. Cry out. Cry out. Talk in tongues with authority. Come on, you're pressing into something right now. Just let that go. You're pressing into something right now. Come on, walls are falling. Angels are moving. Heaven is opening its doors. There's a river of living water flowing out of this place and into the city tonight. Press on, press on, press on. A little bit deeper, a little bit farther. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. What a great privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just stand right where you are. Just, if it's appropriate, just take somebody's hand or wrap your arm around somebody there by you. Let's just marinate in this for a minute. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God is so outrageously good to us to let us be a part of what he's doing. Praise God. Prayer is a precious privilege, an unbelievable opportunity. Prayer is a place, and that's what we're working on tonight. This morning we worked on worship. We're at the altar of incense. But prayer is being able to resume intimacy with God. Prayer changes what happened at the fall in the garden. And now in the New Testament, since the veil is torn and the apostle says we can go boldly in. And so it's different than just being the Old Testament priest in the presence of God. Now God has come to live within you. And there has never been a greater intimacy between God and mankind than what you're walking in right now. When we talked about the veil, we talked about the fact that the flesh was like the veil, and the veil was like the flesh, and you've got to press through to get in. And there's the problem with time, and it's inconvenient sometimes, and it's emotionally disturbing, and there's all sorts of voices and other things going on. But if you'll press in through the veil, you make your way into the presence of God, anything is possible. Revival never happens without prayer. Recovery doesn't happen without prayer. People being restored won't happen without prayer. But I'm just telling you tonight, I just feel something in this house that's like a bridge. It's like a way set before you. It's like an answer to the thing that you've been seeking, the thing you've been looking for the thing you felt was missing from your heart or your life, I'm telling you, God is opening up some doors right now, because God answers prayer. Praise God. We have some wonderful guests tonight, all the way from Georgia. And his brother Salvalar, Savala, they're associated with Brother Copeland's church. They're a freestanding apostolic work on the east side of Georgia, and they came a long way tonight to be in church with us, and we're so glad they're here. I want you to come and greet the church with us.
Praise the Lord, church. It is so good to be in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be praised. Amen. He is worthy. Él es digno. Él es digno. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. We love you. We glorify you, God. Hallelujah. There is no better praise, God, than to be in your house worshiping your precious name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We've been in the house of God since early this morning, like many of you probably have been. But there's no better place than to be in the house of God at the end of the day. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in his house. And can I just say that the moment we enter these doors, we just feel welcome in this place. Hallelujah. And we can feel the heart of the pastor that's been transmitted through the whole congregation. And it's just so good to be part of the kingdom of God. And we would like for you to receive greetings from our pastor, from my pastor, Pastor Cardenas, and Pastor Sutton. Thank you for having us. We've been blessed. We've been strengthened. We were here a few weeks ago in the conference Power to Become, and a lot of the young men that came with us, young ladies that were with us, we went back home just wanting to conquer all of West Georgia for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're just so thankful there. We are so thankful that you're our neighbor. We're so close by, 1 hour and a half, and we just praise the same God. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Amen. ¿Cuántos alaban a Dios en ese día? Dije, ¿cuántos alaban y magnifican a Dios en esa noche? Hallelujah. Él es digno, amen. Él es digno, hallelujah. I know this is the way that it's going to be in heaven, amen. Glory to God, amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, I can't help it that you already had your altar call. We're going to open the book tonight. It doesn't matter if you do this upside down or sideways. It just doesn't matter. It's all good. We can eat divorce. We can eat dessert first, and then we can have whatever else is on the menu. Praise God. So this works out really, really good. I want to work on prayer a little bit tonight. We're going to take the same text as this morning. We're in Exodus chapter 30, and we're talking about the altar of incense. Exodus 30 and verse 1. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, an acacia wood thou shalt make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof. He gives them all the physical dimensions. Verse 3, overlay it with pure gold, the top, the sides, and round about. And so it's going to be encased as you make your way in through the sanctuary and into the Holy of Holies. The materials become more and more precious. And verse 4, two golden rings shalt thou make under the crown of it, like the other articles in the sanctuary. It is made to travel. It's made to move from place to place. And this morning we made application to your worship, and your worship should be portable. Your experience with God should be portable. It should go with you wherever you go. And here we're making application to prayer, and prayer is portable. portable or should be with you wherever you go. And verse 6, you put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over. It's the last stop. It's the very last piece, and it's right up against the veil. It is at the place of crossing over into the Holy of Holies. And what they're going to do there, they're going to burn incense. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, verse 8, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Morning and evening at the sacrifice, he's going to offer incense. This is to be used for nothing else. It is holy. It is sacrosanct. It is set apart for God. And in the following verses, 34 through 38, he gives them a recipe. He gives them the component parts of the incense, and it is to be ground into fine powder and used for nothing else. It only belongs to God and to the service of God. And it's the altar of incense. If you're glad for the word of God, give him praise and thanks as you're seated tonight. Mighty God, we praise you and we worship you. And we lift you and thank you, O God. How wonderful are your ways, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So some of this is review, and some of it we may press into some new territory. We handled the same construct this morning and dealt with it on terms of your worship and your praise, because worship and prayer are essentially the same type of activity, and they are portals into the presence of God. We talk about access to God and about portals here in our fellowship, and we want to be able to make our way. God has given us a way. He has given us access. He has torn the veil. He has made it available to us. And so by prayer and by worship and by word, we make our way into and handle the things of God. It is like the parting of the Jordan, where God opened up a spiritual dynamic and they were moving from one existence to another. And in these exercises of crossing over and going out into the Spirit, as they did on that crossing of the Jordan, they took up great stones out of the bottom of that river and they built memorials. They made changes in the landscape. They made changes in their world. They actualized some things. They changed some things. And when we go into a place as we did tonight, you're not the same person as you were when you walked in the door. You're not the same person. Your circumstance is not the same. Some of you are going to notice a drastic difference because you crossed over in prayer tonight and moved into a place of prayer. Sometimes it's incremental. Sometimes it's so small it's almost immeasurable. But you continue, and it's like building a memorial. It's like growing or engaging in a process that at the end of the process is going to bring about great change. And so your prayer is like that. Your worship is like that. We regain intimacy with God in prayer. And everything in this world hates prayer. And everything about your flesh presses against prayer. And your natural mind always looks everywhere else except to prayer. But I'm going to tell you, there is nothing in this world. There is no power available to man, no resource available to us as the church tonight that is greater or more important or more valuable or more impactful than prayer. Vesta Mangan said, if prayer is anything at all, then it is everything. If it is real at all, if we are really in the presence of God, if we really have access to God, then my goodness, folks, why aren't we standing in the presence of God and doing business with Him? The fire off the altar of sacrifice is the fire for the burning of the incense, because you have to come before God with commitment and buy-in, and you have to be invested. And that's what that is about. Your praise, your worship, your prayer is empty and kind of shallow without buy-in, without investment. And so we talked about this morning, and again tonight, it's good to rehearse Revelation 8, where an angel comes with a censer and it's full of incense and prayer, and he pours the prayers of the saints out on the altar before the throne of God. That's in heaven. And it is a clear indication, and we don't understand the mechanics of it, and we can't understand it very clearly, but we understand that angels are involved with our prayer. And we look at Hebrews chapter 1 and we see they are ministering spirits sent to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. And so we see Jacob at Bethel, and we understand there's like a ladder work, and angels are ascending and descending, and the man is down on the earth. The man or the woman is locked into time and space and earth. God is at the top of the ladder. God has given us access to things heavenly and things in the kingdom of God. So the angel pours out prayer before God. I don't know that it works exactly like that, but it makes a good metaphor for us to understand. You need to understand that when you engage in prayer, you're not by yourself. It's not that you're there by yourself, but the angel of the Lord encamps round about you. And God is attentive to your prayers. Anybody here believe that God hears you when you pray? Anybody here believe that you have God's ear, that he cares about you and that he hears your prayer? And so the angel is an indication to us that there's heavenly activity when we pray, and we're not by ourselves. And he fills that censer, that bucket up with fire off the altar, and he hurls it back down into the earth. And we understand that prayer is a two-way street, that something goes up, but something comes down. Something goes out from us, but something comes from heaven. And so I go out and I get things from heaven when I'm in prayer, when I'm in worship. Someone say praise the Lord. And so we press into this idea, and we understand, like Psalms 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Anybody here can say I prayed and God heard me? How many of you can really relate to us answered prayer? How many of you can stand tonight and say God has answered my prayer? I prayed, I sought, it was something definable, something clear, something measurable, and God did it in my life. Praise God. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And so it's a return to intimacy. It is a place where we go and cross over from one existence, perhaps as Israel wandering in the wilderness, into promise. And we have a sea change in our experience. And the catalyst there and the means by which we pass over is prayer. And we see this. We understand this. Like Revelation chapter 1 and John on Patmos. And he's there and he's had a rough go of it. And he's on a prison island and he's supposed to die, and we don't know what's happened to him before, but he's there and he simply says this. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit. And then you have the unfolding of that phenomenal revelation that he gives us. John was on a stinking prison island. John was in a place where people were dying and there were probably corpses around, and it was a brutal place and an inhospitable place. But in that place, he walked on streets of gold. He saw a crystal sea. He stood with others before the throne of God. He had discourse with angels. He was transported out of that place and into another place. I'm just telling you, God has given us something priceless, and without, I'm just God gave him something that transported him out of an island that was an island of death. I don't know where you're living, and I don't know how you're feeling, and I don't know what it seems like today or what your day was like yesterday, but I'm just telling you, God has given you something. If you're in a prison cell, you can have a breakout even though the walls don't change and the bars don't move. You can break out, and I'll tell you this, if they can't lock up your spirit, they can't lock up the man. If they can't shut down your prayer, they can't shut down the woman. My body may be broken, but I can pray. I may be in a place of poverty, but I can pray. I may not have political access, but I've got heavenly access. I can pray. Ezekiel has the same experience. He's in a place, Jerusalem is destroyed and the temple is destroyed, and he's with those that are seated by the river Chebar in Babylon, and they're singing. They're saying, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? And they've hanged their harps upon the willows, and they are non-responsive, and they are not praying. And he sat with them. He said, I sat where they sat. And he said, I saw visions of God. And he made the same statement as John. He said, I was in the spirit. He was transported. He was taken away. He saw marvelous things that we still wonder about today. He saw the end of time as John did. I'm just telling you, prayer opens up the universe to you. Prayer opens up the unlimited possibilities of God to you. Prayer opens up things that your world and your circumstance seek to define you and to cordon you off and say you're just a little meaningless person in a little meaningless place. But that's not true, because God's given you the orb of prayer. God's given you a door, a place of access, and you can have access with the one who made it all anytime you want. By the rivers of Babylon, he said, I had visions of God. So again this morning we talked about we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not, but they are through, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we speak of that process and we talk about it. Imaginations and thoughts and knowledge, and we talk about it as Paul did, the reshaping of the mind, the transforming of the mind, the changing of your knowledge base so that your thought life changes and your imaginations or your vision can be opened up. But he talks in this passage about the weapons of our warfare, and we need to identify them, and we need to learn how to use them and how to utilize them. And one of the most powerful weapons you have in your experience in God is prayer. And we understand that as the kingdom of God moves in our lives, that it is reciprocal in nature. We get as we give. We receive as we give. We reap as we sow. And so then the tripwire, the catalyst, the place where the activity is initiated is quite often left with us. God will seek us and God will knock on the door. But I'm just telling you, if you want to have a robust and a dynamic and a productive and effective experience in God, you have to initiate prayer. You can't wait for somebody else to drag you into it, and you can't wait for the church to catch on fire, and you can't wait for God to come wake you up in the middle of the night. But you've got to come, and you've got to, because the parables teach us and the post-exilic prophets teach us, and everything I see in the Word of God about prayer tells me that it's in my hand and I've got to do something with it. Oh, if God could find a people that would pray, if God could find a people that would use what God has given them. Praise God. Praise God. I need some young people. Hadley, you're pretty young. Devin, you're pretty young. Okay, maybe I need younger. I don't know. Jax, you want to do this, or you'd rather not? Okay, do you guys play games at all? You play any games? I am not a gamer. What kind of games do you play? Do you play any of those games where you're in this world and you enter into it as a character and you've got things to do and tasks to accomplish, and sometimes you get depleted of energy and you have to go find energy, and you don't have a weapon, but you go and find a weapon or a way? Or is it, do you play anything like that? You do? Yeah, we do. Are you pretty good? Pretty good at it? Not that good at it? Do you know prayer is a lot like that, except a whole lot better? Because when I pray, I'm a 65-year-old, broken down. But when I open that door of prayer and I step through that, it's like everything in the storehouse is available to me. The weapons are there. The power source is there. I hook up. By the way, if you've lost yourself in gaming, I would love to invite you tonight to lose yourself in prayer. Because when you lay down your control, all you did was waste a day. You've got a trail of drool down your chin and on your shirt. But if you'll spend that time in prayer, you'd find the weapon. You'd find the energy source. You'd conquer the dragon. You would overcome the castle. You would conquer the army. My God. And you would walk out of prayer a different man or woman. I remember Brother Booker preaching, "What level do you want to play?" And I'm like, I can't do Mario. I don't know anything about any of that. I don't know anything about that. But when you walk into prayer, God says, "What level do you want to play at?" I'll just tell you tonight, there's too much at stake. There's too many precious things in the balance. I don't want to be playing in the shallows, Brother Travis. I want to be a master. I want to get off in it so deep that I'm so comfortable in prayer that sometimes I just forget to come back to the natural world. My God. I don't know what you win. I don't know what you gain in those games. But there's healing in prayer. And there are miracles in prayer. And there are real life consequences in prayer. And you can get a raise in prayer. And you can get a promotion in prayer. And you can get that job that you needed in prayer. And God can open up opportunity. There's not a game that I know of that can do that. And in prayer, you can see the heart of your enemy turn. And in prayer, you can find broken relationships restored. And in prayer, things that have been painful for you all your life, wounds and hurts and abuses and past and trouble out of your past, so vexing and so painful, it bothers you, it follows you into every other relationship, and it follows you on the job, and it follows you into your dreams. But in prayer, there's an answer for that. In prayer, there's a weapon against that. In prayer, there's power to overcome that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give God a little praise. Let's magnify him. I'm done. When I pray, the heavens open. When I pray, chains fall off. When I pray, answers come from nowhere. When I pray, I get understanding of things I didn't understand before. When I pray, angels begin to move and heaven begins to open, and God and angels move on my behalf when I pray. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. God is sovereign. He's got an agenda. He has a plan. And we don't get everything we want in prayer. That's not what it's designed to be. But we get something that's better than anything I've ever seen or experienced in this world. Praise God. The night I came to church to be baptized, there were people walking around the house in prayer at midnight. I didn't understand it. I didn't know about it. The reason we're in an apostolic church tonight is because there was an old apostolic lady named Grandma Mary that rocked my wife when she was 6 or 8 months old and her sister when she was a toddler. And I know she prayed over those babies and they became special and something began to move and direct them early on because that old woman prayed for them. You say you were there? I just know I didn't have any connection. That was the only apostolic connection we have. And I'm just telling you, if you've got somebody that's praying for you tonight, you need to thank God. You need to thank God that somebody is praying for you. Praise God. If you've got backslidden kids or lost loved ones, I'm telling you, you can walk into where they live. You can handle the things that bind them. You can walk into the room of their spiritual incarceration. I'm telling you, by prayer, you can walk into those places. You can make proclamations about how it's going to be on the job and with your boss and with your career. You can talk about things that would become prophecy as you begin to walk into them in the days to come. I'm just telling you right now, prayer and prophecy are wed together, and God has given you the power of both of those things. The church of the living God needs to utilize this at a level we've never utilized it before. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And there's nothing that you can accomplish in the secular or the natural that will work in this warfare. The only thing you have is what God has given you, and that is prayer and the sword of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Praise God. So here's a picture. Here's a picture of prayer. Praise God. Brother Samuel, can you read real loud for me? Can you? Can you read really loud in Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 10, and start in verse 1? Daniel was a dream advisor to the king of Babylon. How did he get that job? Well, he got dragged off at the destruction of Jerusalem, and he got dropped in a foreign land. But he stood for God. And there was a day when Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all the wise men of Babylon. But Daniel went to prayer. Daniel was a prayer warrior. Do you know prayer will get you thrown into a den of hungry lions? But did you know prayer will keep the lion's mouth shut all night long? You don't always get what you want, but prayer will sustain you. Are you there? Daniel chapter 10, start in verse 1. Now, he's been there a while because the Persians have overthrown the Babylonians. Belteshazzar. Yeah, that one. Yeah, so God gave him a vision in prayer. Read on. He was in prayer and he was in fasting for 3 full weeks, 21 days. He humbled himself. Jesus tells us there are some places you cannot go except by prayer and fasting. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, I was by the side of a great river, which was... Take a shot. Nobody else is going to know enough to correct you. There you go. I love that river. The blue Hiddekel. Read on. Yeah, he saw this image. He saw an angel. This is going to be Gabriel. This is the same Gabriel that comes to Mary. This is Gabriel, the messenger angel of God. And when he comes, Daniel just passes out like I would or you would. He just faints, guys, because it is so outrageous and so incredibly impressive. And he falls, and the guy, the angel, lays his hand on him, and he's strengthened. He gets up on all fours, and he kind of resuscitates him, and then they're able to conduct the business. But the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel after 21 days of prayer and fasting. It doesn't matter to the angel, and it doesn't matter to God, because they don't live in time. Days like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day with God. He lives outside of time. It may seem excruciatingly long to you, but it's just a moment to God. And so the angel says, Daniel, we heard you when you first started praying. We heard you 21 days ago. But he said, when I came to bring you this message, I was met by the prince of Persia. And he's talking about an angel, a fallen angel. When Satan fell, he took a host of angels with him. And he's talking about an angel that has been positioned over a geographical location, which gives rise to the idea that when Paul's talking about principalities and powers and rulers, he's talking about angels, fallen angels that have power and control in certain areas. This is going to become abundantly clear in the rest of this reading, because Gabriel says the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. But then he said, Michael came to help me. And he identifies Michael as the prince of thy people, the patron angel of Israel. And so Michael came, and then it was 2-1, and it was on, and they took care of the prince of Persia, and Gabriel broke through. Now, I don't know how it really works. We can only think with our framing and see it as we see it, as we read it. I don't know what the conflict, what the battle looks like, what the warfare looks like, but I'll take it on face value. And so he breaks through, and he brings Daniel this understanding of the vision and the dream that he has. And then he says, now I'm going back, and I'm going to fight again. He said, because the prince of Grecia is coming. And he's talking about Alexander, and he's talking about the burgeoning Grecian empire that is rising and is going to overthrow Persia. And there also is a fallen demon prince that is at least as strong as an archangel. When you pray, you step into an equation. You step into spiritual dynamics and mechanics. When that man began to pray, he set some things in motion, and angels began to move, and demons rose up and said no. But the angel came and did battle, and he wasn't enough. And so another angel came and did battle, and they got the thing done, and they got through. But I'll just tell you right now, if the man on the ground had stopped praying, it would have been off. I don't think the angels would have responded without someone lifting the issue up on the ground. I want you to know, you may feel like you're in this by yourself, but the heavens are with you. And there are more that are with us than they that are with them. But don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. The parables teach us it's like knocking on a door at midnight and saying, I need. God teaches this parable. He teaches it on prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray in Luke 11. And he teaches them the Lord's Prayer and says, you need to have a framing. You need to have a structure. There are some things you need to accomplish in prayer. But then he goes to the second movement in that chapter. And prayer is like a man in need knocking on a door at midnight. And God is on the inside. And God is the neighbor. It's good to have God as a neighbor. I'm glad God is close. I'm glad he's not far from any one of us. I'm glad that I can go and knock on his door. And I'm glad to know that sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, wait. But I also am glad to know that even if he says no, and I really need it, and I really want it, I can keep on knocking. And finally, God in the story says, he's not going to go away. He's not going to go away. He's going to keep knocking. And he gives it to him, not because he's his friend, but because of importunity. Because he won't go away. To tell your neighbor now, don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Jesus tells another story that's a corollary to that one. Luke 18, the widow woman and the unjust judge. And at the end of it, the same movement happens there. She gets what she wants because of persistence. But the bullet at the end of that, the punchline at the end, yet when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? If you've stopped praying, you've stopped believing. If you've stopped praying, you've stopped believing. The most rudimentary expression of your faith is prayer. I can find out if you believe the Bible by you telling me how much you pray. If you pray, when you pray. Because a prayerless man is a faithless man. Because faith is first demonstrated in prayer. It's not demonstrated in church attendance, because you can be dead as a hammer sitting on a church pew. It's demonstrated in prayer. Prayer makes this real. Prayer makes this real. Without that, it's just a gathering. It's just an empty sack. It's just a social club. It's just a gathering of people that like certain type of music or certain type of activity, or think they can make a check on a little box and get that done and secure their eternity in some way. But without prayer, this is meaningless. Prayer is your song. Prayer is your individual connectivity to God. And the preacher can't pray for you. And your mama can't pray for you. Don't misunderstand me. I can pray for you, but I can't pray in your stead. I can't pray your prayers. I tell that to everybody that comes to seek the Holy Ghost. All right, you got to open your mouth, because God wants to give you the Holy Ghost, but you won't get it by sitting here with your mouth closed. You got to begin to pray and magnify God and worship God. And when you do that, something's going to happen and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. But it's your unique song, your unique voice. You have a giftedness that is yours and yours alone. You are a unique individual in the kingdom of God. And we are at a deficit if you are not praying. We are running without your strength. You say, well, what strength do I? We don't know. We don't know. 200. Is this going all right? I keep thinking I'm going to walk in front of you. Okay. How many? You had a bunch of people listening. I'm a foreigner. What's the boiling point of water?
220.
220. I heard it over there. No, that's an electrical current. It's 112 degrees. Somebody help me. Huh? 212. 212? Anybody else? Some scholar? This is really bad, folks. This is really bad. We're on live stream and nobody in this joint knows the boiling point of them. But Google knows. 212. What is water when it's at 211? It's just hot water. It can't drive a locomotive. It can't run the machinery. It can't move things. It can't empower things. It's just hot water. And all it takes is one little click, and then it turns to steam, and then the whole industrial revolution takes off. because of one more degree. You say, well, I'm not anybody in the church. Friend of mine, you bring your log. You bring your fire. You bring your prayer. You may bump us up out of just being a bunch of hot water to the next level. We might start really doing some things, and it might just be your prayer. One of us can set 1,000 to flight, but two of us, 10,000. This thing gets scary, and it gets exponential. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to quit. I got to quit. Let's stand together. Somebody help me. You got to pray. Now, we already had a really good altar service and a really good prayer meeting. And I know McDonald's is calling. Do you eat at McDonald's? You need to pray over that. Do you have anybody you want to see come and get the Holy Ghost? Do you have folks at work with you and you would love to see them come and be filled with the Spirit and baptized in Jesus' name? I believe there is a great revival at UAB. Four of you think that, but I don't care what you think. I think there's a great revival at the hospital. A great revival at the university. I think there's a great revival at Southern Companies. I think there's a revival in your neighborhood. I think there's a revival that we've never seen in Birmingham and in the metro. I really do. Does anybody here believe that? I read about a guy named Cornelius. And Cornelius didn't know much, but he had been converted to prayer. And he began to pray. And he began to give money to poor people, alms to the poor. And God loves both of those things. And while he's praying, an angel comes to him. On the other end of the equation, there's a man named Peter. That's on a rooftop praying. And the incense of prayer goes up, spreads out in the temple. It moved into the Holy of Holies and out through the sanctuary and out into the court. And it brought worlds together. Prayer brings the kingdom of God and people together. Can't tell you exactly how it works, but I see it works. Peter's on a rooftop praying. Boom, falls into a trance. An angel at Cornelius's house. And by the time the angel has given him the instruction and he sent his messengers to go and get Peter from Joppa, before they knock on the door, God tells Peter, there are men at the door. And you need to go and let them in. And you go with them. And don't you doubt anything. I'm just telling you right now. There's Cornelius in this city. There's Cornelius in this city right now. He's praying. He's doing everything he knows how to do. He doesn't know full truth. He doesn't understand the apostolic doctrine. He doesn't understand the book of Acts. But he's praying. He wants something. He's seeking. There's a Larry Booker in this city that every night Booker would go to sleep hugging a big old hippie Jesus Bible. And one night he's hugging that Bible and he's praying, and the presence of God gets so strong, he starts trembling and shaking, and he's about to receive the Holy Ghost, but he doesn't know what it is. In this city, there's a Larry Booker somewhere that's praying and calling on God. In this city, there's a Donna Sutton going to sleep tonight. And she's looking out a window and she's saying, God, if I could find you, I'd serve you. But I don't know. I can't be a Baptist or a Presbyterian. I just can't do it. But God, if you would show yourself, it seems like you made all the stars and everything. It seems like you could show yourself to us. And it wasn't but a matter of weeks that our friend walked in the door with a Josh McDowell tape on prophecy. And then we started on a journey, first believing that the Bible was true, and then looking for a church that taught what the Bible said. And then we ran into these apostolics, and it's a lot like what you and Cedric went through, Brother Travis. Found the Word of God on your own and then began to look for church. Prayer. Prayer on both ends of the equation. Prayer brings those worlds together. Prayer moves into where God is and out where people are. Prayer brings the two together. In this city tonight, somebody's feeling the effect of your prayer. In this city tonight, there's somebody here with a backslidden child. And someone else's prayer is knocking on their heart's door. My God, I want us to gather for just a minute here tonight, and I want us to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to target somebody, target a neighbor. Target a loved one. Target a coworker. Pray for revival on your job. Pray for revival in your family. God, I'm not able to reach them, but you are. God, I don't have enough strength, but you do. God, I'm not able to tell them and they won't listen to me. But God, you can go into their dreams tonight. God, touch a Muslim tonight. God, speak to an atheist tonight. God, mighty God, touch the bangers tonight. Lord God, touch those that don't understand. Cornelius tonight, oh God. Find the Larry Booker, God.
Your will be done.
Lift up that one before the Lord. Call their name in the presence of God. Lord, if you would, I want you to shift gears. I want you to let the Holy Ghost just pray through you right now. Let God pray over your city. Let God pray over your workplace. Let God pray over your family. He gave you the power. He gave you the gift. Use it. Overtake somebody. Lay your hand on them. Hug them up. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
We say yes. Our heart says yes to your will.
Praise God. Praise God. What a blessing. What a privilege. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Share your love and your victory with one another. It's been a great day in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Take dominion in your city and on your job by prayer. Take dominion over all those things that are troubling you by prayer. Praise God.
Yeah.